Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, everybody, it's time for the Tuesday edition of the Daily 10. It's your friend Matt back again to take you on this 10-minute sports journey of ours. I've got some baseball to get to because the hot stove is heating up. Teams are spending dollars. We'll get to that coming up in a couple of moments, including a Braves signing that probably not as high profile to mention. It is football, though, first and foremost, as we get moving here on Atlanta's only podcast that features all the stuff you guys care about the most. If you would, hit the subscribe button or follow this pod, and it'll be waiting for you each and every day around 10 a.m. All right, so we get ready for Championship Saturday. Conference championships get ready to fire up. And I will lead into that by telling you tonight, the final college football playoff poll that doesn't matter will be released, and it'll be intriguing to see just the order of it. Again, it doesn't mean anything because the committee has told us every poll is independent of the other. I'll come back to that in a moment. So Georgia is a 6.5-point favorite over Alabama. I think Georgia is going to win the game handily. I've said that for weeks. This is not new. I think Georgia is going to win by double digits against Bama. But let's play out some scenarios with Georgia and Bama for a second. Georgia beats Alabama. Alabama's out. Second loss. They don't go to the playoff. Unless some other weird stuff happens, and here's what I mean by weird. So we know if these teams win, they'll punch their ticket. Georgia's already going no matter what. But let's say they beat Bama, there's one team in the playoff. Cincinnati, if they beat Houston in the AAC championship, Cincinnati's probably going to go. We know Michigan, if they beat Iowa, will go. That's three of your four spots. That leaves Notre Dame or Oklahoma State battling for that fourth spot in the playoff. Now, the committee has to determine, does the Big 12 championship, that data point, matter more than Notre Dame not having a chance to play in a conference championship game? What'll be the differentiating points there? Now, if Baylor beats Oklahoma State in the Big 12 title game, here's Notre Dame kicking their feet up going, oh, look, we can go back to the playoff and get drilled yet again, but they would be in the playoff. So that's one of the scenarios where it's Georgia, it's Michigan, it's Cincinnati, and then let's say Notre Dame or Oklahoma State. I will give you the far-fetched scenario that I don't think will happen, but Alabama beats Georgia. Okay. So at that point, I still think Georgia's the one seed if it's a close game. But you're not going to have Bama in the four spot. They're the SEC champ. They would have just beaten the number one team. Maybe they're the two seed for the sake of it. Michigan, if they beat Iowa, still remains firmly entrenched in the playoff. Maybe they're the three. And if Cincinnati beats Houston, they're the four. And that's how it would play itself out. There are only six teams that I think have a you know a shot here to be in the playoff, and we mentioned Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Cincinnati, and then we'll see what happens with Oklahoma State and Notre Dame. The committee's job could be very easy if these favorites take care of their business, if Georgia takes care of it, if Michigan takes care of it, and if Cincinnati takes care of it. Those three of the four spots become really easy. Then the question becomes, do you want Notre Dame for TV, or do you give Oklahoma State the check because they would have won a Big 12 championship if they beat Baylor? That's kind of what the playoff scenario comes down to. So, again, tonight's the final playoff seedings that don't matter, but they'll get a lot of talk since this is the final one before championship weekend. We are brought to you by the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. If you're looking for the perfect destination to watch all your college action on Saturday, on Championship Saturday, head down to Woodstock. On Main Street, you'll see a walk-up window where you can get your drinks right from the street before you walk through the door. Now, when you do walk through the door, you'll see a craft beer bar, self-serve taps, which are awesome, be able to have the convenience to grab whatever you want to drink while you're watching the games, a movie-sized screen with a front row that you can grab those seats and have the best seat in the house for both college and pro action on Saturdays and Sundays, the menu with just so many right answers from great flatbreads to wings to sandwiches, salads, you name it. You can go to thedailydraft.net to find out more, or you can just stop in downtown Woodstock on Main Street and go see my friends down there to enjoy all of your football viewing action. All right, let's get back to Georgia, who will try to do something they have not been able to do, and that's to take down Nick Saban in Alabama. Now, it's not the Bama of years past. Still very good, right? They're 11-1. If this is as, quote, bad as it gets for Bama, things are still moving in the right direction. But it's Nick Saban. It's knocking off the beast. And Georgia's not done that yet. I think Nick Saban's doing one of his best coaching jobs. This is an offensive line at Bama that's not very good on the interior. They're without their number one running back. They haven't been able to run it consistently. They don't have the plethora of weapons offensively. They've given up more plays defensively than typically Alabama teams would give up. So I think on the whole, Saban's done one of his better jobs. And you know there's the mental part of this that even if it only takes up 5% of your brain, Georgia, whether these players are here or not for some of this, there is going to be the memory brought up to them of what happened in the national championship game or what happened the following year in the SEC championship game or what happened last year in Tuscaloosa. Those are all games where you could make a great case Georgia. I mean, they could have won at least two of them. The game in Tuscaloosa got away in the second half, but Nick Saban's teams found a way. Came off the deck in the Natty to win that one, 26-23. Came back in a game where they were losing to Georgia in the SEC championship game. Won the game in Tuscaloosa last year. Hell, if you all want to go back to 2012, to that SEC championship or the blackout game, you can go through all that stuff. And Saban has been the kryptonite to an otherwise really special run that Georgia's put together. So that part of it is something to watch on Saturday. The other thing is remember the theory that you had to have this dual threat quarterback, this multi-dimensional player who has to have a big game to beat Alabama's defenses in years past. And we have a history of seeing Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Johnny Manziel, Cardale Jones, Chad Kelly. Remember Bo Wallace, Nick Marshall. These are the quarterbacks. Trevor Knight. Do you guys remember Trevor Knight, the Oklahoma quarterback who beat Bama back in the day, throwing for 348 yards and four touchdowns when Oklahoma beat Alabama by two touchdowns? It's always taken that, right? So, well, Georgia doesn't have that, right? They have Stetson who can run. Stetson's a good athlete. But here's the reason why I don't think it's as big a deal, because Stetson looks nothing like Cardale Jones. He looks nothing like Johnny Manziel athletically or Joe Burrow or Deshaun Watson. He's good athletically. He can move out of the pocket, extend plays, pick up key yards. But they're also not going to ask Stetson Bennett to go out and beat Alabama. He doesn't need to. He just has to have the Stetson game where he's 15 for 22, 220 yards, two touchdowns, hit some deep balls, and not turn the football over. Georgia runs the ball well enough, and we know defensively they can make the rest of the difference. So this isn't like, and you're going to hear this one throughout the week, well, Stetson Bennett doesn't look like any of the quarterbacks that have beaten Alabama in years past. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to look at all like Joe Burrow. He doesn't have to play at all like Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't have to have any of the athleticism of Johnny Manziel or any of these guys. He's plenty athletic enough to extend plays, and he will have to at times. He'll have to make some throws. But he also just has to avoid the big mistake. If Georgia plays this game clean, they win the game, as I said, handily. I think they win it by double digits. I've thrown out a score. You want 34-17, something like that. I think that's the scenario to look out for this weekend in the SEC championship game. All right, let's get to the baseball in the Hot Stove League, as the Braves did make a minor move as they brought back Darren O'Day, the former reliever, signing him to a minor league contract. See if he can make the team. He was banged up a lot last year for the Yankees. We'll see if he can find some of the ability to stay healthy and have a chance to make the Braves bullpen out of spring training. The Braves, as we close in on the shutdown of the CBA, which December 1st, which is tomorrow, the CBA expires, meaning all teams will go into a dark mode. No free agent signings, no trades, none of it. So maybe something gets done at the recording of this podcast. Nothing is done with Freddie Freeman. If it gets done, bully for the Braves. That's the biggest item on their to-do list. After that, you'll have to sit back and wait and see what they do with Freddie or any of the outfielders if they want to bring those guys back. But it was a fury, fast and furious fury of signings in Major League Baseball over the last couple of days from Kevin Gausman, the former Brave, signing with the Blue Jays for 5 years and $110 million. Or Max Scherzer signing with the Mets for 3 years and $143 million. Or no, excuse me, it was 3 years, $130 million. But to give that guy $40 million a year, good for Max, but the Mets will break him. I mean, the Mets break everything they touch. That's why they've broken DeGrom multiple times. They broke Syndergaard. They broke Matt Harvey. They broke Steven Matz. They broke Marcus Stroman. They break everybody and they'll break Max. I figured out that the Met fan and just New York sports fans in general, things have gone so poorly for them that a signing is the biggest thing they can celebrate. or regular season wins. The Mets celebrate regular season wins, kind of like the Knicks fans. I had Knicks fans up in my mentions the other day talking about their regular season win over the Hawks, and I'm like, this is where you are? That you're this happy and excited over regular season NBA wins in November or Mets wins in May or June? That's kind of where the bar is for the Mets fans. But they did sign Scherzer, so it's a great day for them to celebrate till they break him in May and June. You had the Rangers go on a huge spending spree. They, in the last 48 hours in Texas, have spent $560 million. Yesterday, they added Corey Seager, the former Dodgers shortstop, on a 10-year deal worth $325 million. That was the day after signing Marcus Semien to a 7-year, $175 million deal. The former Rocky pitcher John Gray to a 4-year, $56 million deal. And Cole Calhoun signed a 1-year, $5 million deal. They had a bunch of money. It's very Phillies-like. It's very Mets-like. Doesn't solve any of their pitching problems. But they got some bats that can rake, and they had the cash to spend. So the Rangers kind of stole the day there. We'll see if today offers the same kind of fast and furious dealings before tomorrow's CBA expires with teams trying to get deals done all around Major League Baseball. One quick heads up. I want to point you guys out to our friends at homefields.com. If you are looking for a great holiday gift, maybe for Hanukkah or Christmas, go to homefields.com. Right now is the time you want to go check them out. I just picked up a Truist Park replica stadium, and they have hundreds of replica stadiums that sit in these beautiful casing. They have lights on them. I put them in my office. They sit on the windowsill on my desk. And the newest one is a World Championship Truist Park replica stadium that right now, if you go to homefields.com and mention my name, last name Chernoff, that's C-H-E-R-N-O-F-F, they're going to give you a 10% discount on anything that you want to get done for the holidays. But I would highly recommend, I'm going to have pictures and videos up at Real Matt Land on Twitter, but homefields.com is the website. You can pick up any of these beautiful replica stadiums from college football, NFL, Major League Baseball, National Basketball Association, all of it. You can get all these beautiful replica stadiums. I've got a replica Mercedes-Benz, a Truist Park, a Turner Field, an Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. They have something for everyone. And again, if you mention my last name in the promo box, Chernoff, they're going to take 10% off your order at homefields.com. Incredible Christmas gifts, or just get them for yourself. You can go there today to homefields.com. If you would, give us a like. Give us a mention. Give us a five-star rating. Give us all those things we would appreciate. And you'll also be able to find this podcast wherever it is you get your favorite pods. You can get it on any of your favorite podcast platforms. I'll be on the radio this afternoon in Atlanta at 2 o'clock. We're back again tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily 10.
Subscribe to the Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open! Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.